And how did it feel to run out at King's Home?
Great thrill, great thrill. When it must be even better now with the crowd really hyped up and the numbers so much greater. I mean that match against Cardiff, we probably would have had the best part of 10,000 people there, and that was capacity. But the average would be about 3,500. I expect something like 3,500, 4,000.
Yeah.
So this Dean's Walk end would be not full. You've got all the hospitality units there now, but it was just a bank with a few barriers on it to stop people running, falling down. But to run out on the pitch, I can still feel the tingle up in the back of my neck. Playing for Gloucester is very special.
One other question I wanted to ask you was, we've been talking through the players that you played with. If we were to ask you to pick your dream team of Gloucester players from your playing era, who would be in it?
Well,
dangerous.
There'd have to be more than 15 in it, Malcolm. I've got to be a diplomat here.
You shouldn't feel obliged to pick all the ones who are still alive.
Well, if I sort of run down one team, which was in the middle period, 51, 52, shall we say, with Jack Watkins, Gordon Hudson would have to be in it. Roy Sutton was a jolly good, dependable centre, a very good tackler. Bob Hodge would have to be in it. Roy Parry would have to be in it. And then you've got George Hastings. So it's difficult then. You see, I've picked three prop forwards who are really very good, and I wouldn't know who to leave out. Viv Davis was a jolly good scrum half. Dennis Ibbotson, I would have to have in my team. Bill Cartmell, I think, and Peter Ford. Looking at other lists of players that performed, probably John Gwillam you'd have to have in there, because he was a legend even in his own time. I wouldn't like to be a Gloucester selector picking that team. But there are, you know, quite a number that stand out. Gordon Hudson is certainly one. Peter Ford is another one. They would be in any team, I suspect, that any Gloucester supporter would pick.
Yeah.
They're great players.
We've talked about your career playing for Gloucester and the RAF. Yeah. What other rugby did you play?
You played county rugby, yeah, of course.
So. Yes. I was more a pre-season, I would say, pre-county championship player. I got picked every year to play in against the British Police and against Glamorganshire and things like that. But I only got picked once for the county championship.
At Exeter, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I was on the periphery, I had one. I ought to be able to remember this chap's name, but he was a Bristol selector, and he didn't have any regard for my rugby ability, and he was a county selector. I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere as long as that chap was a county selector. Just as well I can't remember his name, because I'd be slandering the man. But it happens.
Yeah, actually, that explains. I found a match somewhere in the records, in, I think it's 1952, of one of those pre-season sort of Gloucestershire versus Glamorgan games, where you seem to be the only Gloucester player in the Gloucestershire side. Strange peculiarity.
Yeah, then I probably was the only one that was dropped and taken in the full county side. Yes, I played quite a few times for what they call the county, but the championship I only got played in one, and that was against them.
Did you have very much dealings during your time at Gloucester with the committee?
None at all. I suspect that's the sad part of my life, in the sense that I'm very much a Gloucester individual, at least I think I am, but my job in Barclays Bank, round about, I joined the bank after National Service in 52, by 56 I was down at Clevedon, when we opened the branch there, and then I sort of spent all my time away from the Gloucester area. The nearest I got back to it was, well, I was assistant manager at Western Supermare, and then I became manager of Barclays in Burnham in about 67. I was 35 then, that's right. Stayed there for about 13 years and then went up as manager of Malmesbury and Tetbury branches and finished off as manager of Highbridge branch. But it's all away from Gloucester. So it's sad that we didn't continue our connection there. Anne's parents were farmers at Hynham, a couple of miles outside Gloucester, so her family home was there. My family home was at Stroud, although I was born in Gloucester. But the bank took us away. And whilst it provided a reasonable living and a pleasant retirement, we lost out quite a bit with the social side in Gloucester. That's one of my regrets, but there's nothing I can do about it.
So it's only been in the last couple of years, is it, that you've come back to Gloucester?
Well, I mean, it's the fact that you guys have resurrected these legends from somewhere.
Well, we're delighted it's had that effect.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to watch Gloucester quite regularly, but driving up there regularly would, well, I shouldn't do it. I don't think I could do it.
Let me change tack again. During your time playing for Gloucester, who were the leading lights socially in the club? Who were the entertainers?
Gee whiz.
Did you have a party piece yourself?
No. No, I certainly didn't. I was very much a guy who would huddle. When I was at school, I would keep my head down. I didn't want to be asked questions, you know, that sort of thing. Bill Cartmore was a leading light, and Bob Hodge. They would do most outrageous things when we were on a tour. I mean, it's only a silly little thing, but Cartmore was so quick. We were on the way down on tour, stopped at the New County in Taunton to have lunch, and the service was a bit slow, and we sat in ordinary chairs around the table, and Bill pulls out three old pennies and put them on his hand, one, two, three, like that, and goes, whoop, 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 catches his three of them, one after the other, and puts it back in his pocket, you know. You try it sometime. I practiced it for a long time before I could do it. But he was quite brilliant. Vivian Davis probably was a celebrity on entertaining. Viv Davis was Welsh, and he could get up and sing, and he would stand on the table. He was marvellous. And there was another chap too. We haven't mentioned referees, but there was a chap called Gwyn Walters.
Oh, yes.
You heard of Gwyn Walters?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Seen him referee many times.
Well, Gwyn
Walters.
He wore
a blazer, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he got injured when he was about 18, and he took up refereeing, and he was a first-class referee, probably only just out of his teens. But, boy, could this guy sing. And after matches, instead of, you know, people haranguing the referee, he was a highlight. And he'd sing, stand up on a table and sing. Yes, Gwyn Walters. Yeah.
So, and I remember him as a pretty good ref, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a well-respected referee. Yeah. Well-respected. Mm. And quite small.
Yeah, small. Yeah. Used to ref the county championship a great deal, didn't he, Gwyn Walters?
Yeah.
Yes, he had the ability of letting the game flow.
Yeah. But I'm not, unless they had hidden talents that I didn't see. I mean, one or two of them were pretty good with the girls, but Now, you wouldn't get George Hastings getting up and singing, or Dennis Ibbotson, or Cyril Thomas. Trevor Halls might do something. John Taylor certainly wouldn't. And I don't think Peter Ford wouldn't. We were rugby players. I don't think we were entertainers, but people like Hodge, Cartmell, were quite good, and Viv Davis in particular. Entertainers.